World Citizenship, A Humane Alternative to Drill and Kill by Bruce Mitchell. The cafeteria at Ocotillo Elementary School was packed with students, teachers, parents, and other guests. The performer singing on stage was Alyssa, a visually impaired young lady with a once-in-a-lifetime voice. She was an alumna of Ocotillo, a Title I school in Palmdale, California. Waiting to go on was a remarkable jazz quartet consisting of a talented tenor sax player named Ronnie, his son Josh, an Ocotillo alumnus, on bass, a fine keyboard player named Dathan, and a sixth grade teacher and drummer who doubles as my son Jeff. Jeff and his students had taken the lead in an educational effort at Ocotillo that culminated in this musical fundraiser and became a challenging, creative attempt to rise above the so-called drill and kill education spawned by the dominance of low-level cognitive testing. Jeff's class had discovered an exciting charity called Students Helping Street Kids International, SHSKI, which was founded by Bob Kreitz. Through SHSKI, they learned about a young Brazilian boy named Joel, who was considered a piano prodigy. But as the students found out, Joel had one really big problem. He had no consistent access to a piano. And as a victim of grinding poverty, he wasn't likely to acquire an instrument of his own. But that's how the fun at Ocotillo started. As a Title I school, Ocotillo enrolled many students from low-income backgrounds. These students might not have suffered conditions as severe as those that beset Joel, but many of them had experienced firsthand the problems associated with poverty. From a DVD supplied by SHSKI, these sixth graders learned that Joel not only needed a piano, but lived in a house that was badly in need of repair. When they became aware of the severity of Joel's plight, they decided to take action. So they set out to raise enough money for some house repairs and a piano. In order to raise the money they would need, the students brainstormed different strategies. They eventually settled on a school festival, which they dubbed Panther Fest, after the school's mascot. In organizing the festival, the students left no stone unturned. In addition to the benefit show, which also included a hand drummer and a variety of other performers from the Ocotillo school community, there were food booths and a raffle for door prizes. Working on this project called on the considerable range of talents and abilities that a motivated class of sixth graders, with the help of friends, families, and teachers, can muster. Most of the door prizes, for example, were solicited by the sixth graders from local businesses. Armed with an official letter from their teacher, they approached local merchants and asked for donations of various kinds. Of course, along with accepting the donations came the obligation to organize the raffle and account for all the donations. In addition, the students sent thank you letters to all whose generosity made Pantherfest possible, including those who performed in the benefit. Or consider what is entailed by the apparently simple decision to offer a range of food for profit at Pantherfest. The students had to research rental fees for such gadgets as snow cone and popcorn machines. Then they had to decide how much to charge if they were to make a decent profit. A better introduction to the real-world value of mathematics would be hard to imagine. How does an extended project such as Pantherfest fit in with the current press for high achievement as measured almost exclusively by performance on high-stakes tests that are machine-scorable? After all, most decisions about education today whether at the district, state, or federal level, are made on the basis of such tests. And much of the funding that now goes to support these tests and the preparation for them might once have been used to support field trips, music and art programs, and other valuable curricular and co-curricular offerings. John Merrow has called the current testing mania a serious threat to national standards and educational excellence. He has also declared that we as a nation need a clearer understanding of accountability and that we need more measures of school outcomes than simply standardized test scores. He believes that multiple measures are needed to properly assess the academic performance of the nation's children. Clearly, the learning demonstrated by the students who organized Panther Fest cannot be measured directly by machine-scorable standardized tests. Measuring such higher-level learning requires different kinds of assessment. So, in the current climate, the critical question will ultimately be whether the creation of a school festival, such as the one described here, will translate into solid test results. Many teachers have chosen to teach to the test because of school district requirements that leave them little time for crucial curricular topics that are not tested formally. And while drill and kill teaching strategies may help raise test scores, there is increasing evidence that conscientious and committed teachers who provide a comprehensive, exciting classroom curriculum will produce test results that surpass those of the drill and killers. Happily, the test scores of Ocotillo students continue to be among the best in the district. However, the aspect of this tale that is perhaps most significant for educators is the manner in which the Ocotillo students took responsibility for much of their own learning. This was a venture they will never forget, and these young people will undoubtedly derive far more from the learning activities surrounding Panther Fest than they will from any mind-numbing drill and kill procedures directed solely at raising test scores. The attendance at Panther Fest was much better than anyone anticipated, with the result that Joel received $1,300 for his piano, along with $400 to help repair his house. And the sixth graders learned that it's worth caring about all people on the planet who suffer from poverty. They learned that it is possible to do well by doing good.